Praise the Lord. Can we give a better hallelujah to the living God?
Hallelujah.
Are you blessed this morning?
Yes.
Thank you for this time, Pastor. I'm really blessed to be here this morning. And my name is Shaji Varghese, and I belong to an organization called Indian Evangelical Team. And we have a small map that talks about what we are doing in India. And, well, there's no way I can stick it around here. Can I? You have a clip or something? If you have.
I'll take care of it.
Yeah, okay. The organizer started with one man in the year 1972. He was Dr. P.G. Varghese. He was working in the Indian Army. And that was the time God called him. And he resigned his job from the Indian Army and started the work in the most north part of India. What started as one man and one church in 1972, today we have planted over 11,000 churches in North India. You know, when I say 11,000 churches, it's a very big task for India, because in India every day we have persecution, we have attacks, and we have a lot of challenges. But God has been enabling us, God has been helping us to reach the people with the word of God. And last 1 year alone, we planted 742 churches. You want me to sit down?
You told me you
wanted. Okay. I'm just kidding. In last 1 year, we planted 742 churches in North India and in the countries of Bhutan and Nepal. In last 1 year, in 2016, God helped us to save more than 55,000 souls in the country of India. More than 15,000 people took water baptism. God is doing amazing things in North India. People ask us, how do you do it? You know, well, by the grace of God, we are the largest church planting organization in Southeast Asia. And people ask us, how do you do it? How do you plant so many churches? And I have only two answers. Basically, number one, people around the world are praying for us. And I believe like this, when you pray here, we have churches being planted in North India. When you pray for us here, we have souls being saved in North India. When you pray for us here, we have our pastors and our missionaries being protected. So I want to thank you for your prayers. And the second thing is the grace of God. The grace of God is upon us. And so we have been able to plant over 11,000 churches in North India. We have only one desire. We have only one passion: to reach the unreached at any cost. That's what our map also talks about, to reach the unreached. There are about 550,000 villages in India. India is a country of villages. You know, 70% of our population lives in the villages. And it is our desire that we would go to all these villages with the love of Jesus Christ. Out of 550,000 villages, only about 80 or 85,000 villages have heard about Jesus Christ. About 470,000 villages are yet to hear about Jesus Christ. Who will go? If we will not go, who will go? So it is our desire, it's our passion that we would go and tell these people about Jesus Christ. So I would request you to remember us in your prayers. We have only one desire. No matter what happens, even if we have to give our life, we are not worried about it. But we want to see that souls are being saved and villages are reached with the love of Jesus Christ. Last week, the leaders of Indian Evangelical Team, about 270 leaders of Indian Evangelical Team, we all were sitting together for a week, fasting and praying and listening from God. And we one of our leaders stood up and said, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to go and plant churches where there are no churches. So we have a slogan now, that plant churches where there are no churches. It's hard, but it is not impossible. With God, everything is possible. You know, we have had our pastors who have given their life. We have had missionaries who have gone through a lot of troubles and trials and persecution. We have had sisters who came to Jesus Christ in one of the villages about 4 or 5 years back. About 60% of the village came to know Jesus Christ. And because of this, anti-Christian people came to attack this village. And they wanted these people to come back to Hinduism. They wanted to come back and forsake Jesus Christ. And they came with all kinds of weapons, and they came with all kinds of things to attack these people in the village. Every man from this village ran away. our believers, they ran away. The brothers and the sisters, the male and female, everybody ran away. But there was one family where there was a lady who was 7 months pregnant and she could not run. You know, so her mother-in-law said, I will stay back with you here. And I think because you are pregnant, they will have compassion, they will have mercy, and they will not do anything to us. So let's stay back in a house. The whole village, the rest of the people ran away and they were hiding themselves in the forest. But this anti-Christian people came, not finding anybody else, their anger was even shot up. So they asked these two ladies, where are the people? And they said, they all have gone. They said, if you will forsake Jesus Christ, we will leave you. Otherwise, we are going to bring harm to you. And this mother-in-law said, no matter what you do to us, but we will never forsake Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? This mob that came, they gang raped these two ladies. The 7 month pregnant lady and about 65-year-old lady. They were gang raped by these people again and again and again. But you know what? They did not give up Jesus. They said, no matter what happens, we will never deny Jesus. These sisters are still there. They are in the village. That village knows Jesus Christ. And I went and talked with them. And this sister says, this is nothing. I'm ready to even give my life for Jesus Christ. You know, we have a passion, we have a desire that we want to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. Last year in 2017, on March 15, I was attacked by the anti-Christian people. I was preaching in a crusade and suddenly anti-Christian people came. I was preaching in my own town and there was about 1,500 people there, and I was preaching the first session, and anti-Christian people came and they disturbed the meeting, and they had only one demand: arrest Shaji Varghese, arrest me because I'm converting people into Christianity. And they said to the police, they gave ultimatum to the police and said, if you will not arrest Shaji Varghese in next 24 hours, we are going to bring the whole town shut. We are going to shut the whole town. Nothing would move in this town. And the police did not have a case against me. You know, they need to have some witness to arrest me. Finally, these anti-Christian people went and got hold of 8 of our new believers who had been Christians only for about maybe 6 months, and ill-treated poor people. And these anti-Christian people took them to the police station and asked them to sign a paper which says that Shaji Varghese has brought them here to make them, to convert them into Christians by giving them some money. And you know, these people, they're illiterate, tribal people. They said, no matter what happens, even you slit our throat, we are not going to write that and give it to you, because we have not come to Christianity because somebody has promised us any money or anything, but we have encountered Jesus personally in our life. That is the faith people have in Christ in India. And they tried their level best, you know. And then my lawyer said, run away from this town. Either they will kill you or you will be arrested. Me and my wife, we had to run away from our town. The town that we lived for last 15 to 17 years, we had to flee away from there. And we had to borrow somebody's car, put clothes on all the windows so that nobody would see us. And for 4 days we were in hiding because they were hunting for us. But God has been good to us. We went back to that town and still I'm preaching about Jesus Christ there. What I'm trying to tell you is, no matter what happens, we will still preach about Jesus Christ. 4 months back, I was preaching in a place and I was coming back after the meeting. Somebody came and put an AK-47 here. And he said, I'm going to shoot you. And if he shot me, I didn't care because I would die for Jesus Christ. You know, so how we are protected? Because you are praying for us, you know. And I want to thank you. I want to thank Cornerstone Church. I have known Pastor Stan and Michelle for maybe 5 years now. And they have come and visited and they've seen what God is doing in North India. And I want to thank this church, Cornerstone Church, for all you are doing for us, for your prayers and for your support that you have been giving us. It means a lot to us. And I would request you to remember us in your prayers. More than anything else, what we need is your prayers. Because I believe like this, prayer is something which moves the hands of the Almighty God. So would you remember us in your prayers? I'm going to preach, but before that I have few books there. If you would like to take a book there, the book has about 12 or 13 testimonies of our missionaries. You would rejoice reading those testimonies. So I would encourage, I have only a few of them. So you may take one and you may take it home with you and you can read it. And if you run short of those books, you can just write your address and give it to Pastor Stan and we'll be glad enough to send a few more copies here. But all we need is your prayers. And I want to thank once again Pastor Stan and his church. You have been supporting one of our orphanage, 25 boys in a very rural area of North India. These boys, they had nobody in this world. No parents, no relatives, nobody. You know, 2 months back I was with them and I was thinking, if these children were not supported, if these children were not looked after, they would not have been even alive right now, or they would have been working as slaves somewhere. But God has given us this opportunity to look after these children, and they are studying there and they are having a wonderful future. 2 weeks back we had some government officials who came and visited our orphanage, and they said, thank you for what you're doing for these children. You know, these children are doing great in their studies. Two of them even got selected for state-level soccer team. So we want to thank you. We want to thank Pastor Stan and Michelle and Cornerstone Church for what you're doing for India through Indian Evangelical Team. This morning, I want to share a little bit what God has put in my heart. Would you turn with me to Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. Father, we come in your presence this morning. Lord, we want you to speak to us, Lord. We don't want to hear a man's voice this morning, but we want to hear from you, Lord. Lord, as your word is being ministered, Father, we want you to refresh us. We want you to renew us. And Lord, we want you to rejuvenate us, O God. And let your word bring miracles in our life, O God. Let there be life-changing experience this morning, O God. Bless us all together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Gospel of Mark chapter 2. And again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days. You know, here it says, Jesus entered Capernaum again. You know, I have a habit of reading at least 10 chapters from the Bible every day. I don't read it. I meditate upon it. If you would ask me, do you read Bible? No, I don't read Bible. I would read rather newspaper, but I would meditate upon the Word of God. You know, it's my habit to meditate. I would ponder over it. I would think over it. And I would ask the Holy Spirit to speak into my life. So one day when I was reading, I got stuck on this chapter 2. And it says, again. So I thought again means Jesus had been to this town before this incident. So I went back to chapter 1 to find out what has happened there. I went to Mark chapter 1 and I found that Jesus had gone to Capernaum before this. If you would look into Mark chapter 1 verse 21, you will see then they went into Capernaum and immediately Jesus was there in Capernaum. And we see here in verse 32, now in the evening when the sun had set, they brought to Jesus all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. Jesus was in this town of Capernaum. And Capernaum was a town of importance in those days. A lot of trades and business took place in this town of Capernaum. In the ministry of Jesus, when he was in this world for about 3.5 years, you know, he spent most of his time in Capernaum and around this town of Capernaum. And now he's there in this town. And we see in the evening, they brought people who were sick and who were demon possessed. And it happened after the sun had set. So I don't know what time it was, maybe 8 o'clock in the evening, maybe 9 o'clock in the evening, but it was way after the sun had gone down. I don't know if Jesus even had his dinner or if he did not have, but people brought sick people to Jesus, and the Bible says he ministered to them. And it was not 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 people there, but the Bible says in verse 33, the whole city was gathered there. The whole city. That means the number of people would have been in hundreds, if not in thousands. Hundreds of people gathered there, and Jesus ministered to everyone that was there with a need. Who is our Jesus? Who is our God? He is a God who loves you personally. He is a God who will minister to you personally. He's not a God who would just speak out words into your life, but he will come near you and he will minister into your life. Can I have an amen? He's a God who loves us personally. And he ministered to everybody there. And I think by the time he ministered to everybody there, it would have been long in the night. I don't know what time. You know, because he ministered to everybody there. He healed the sick and He gave deliverance to the people who were demon possessed. Who is Jesus? He's a God who will heal you and who will deliver you. Because His name is above any other name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So no matter what problem you are in this morning, you may be having a lot of problems in your life. But if you will come into the presence of Jesus, He has the power to set you free. He has the power to set you free. So we don't have to look into our problems, but let us look into the name of Jesus Christ. Every sick that came there, every demon possessed that came there, they were given answer to their need. They were either healed or they were set free in the name of Jesus Christ. So this morning, how blessed we are that we are in the presence of God and He is there to bring a solution to our problem this morning. 3 years back, I was preaching in a city of Bangalore in South India. And it was a crowd of about 4,000 or 5,000 people in the auditorium. And I was preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ. And after my message, a young lady came forward, maybe 26, 27 year old. And she asked me, Pastor, would you pray for me? And I asked, what do you want me to pray for? I would not just pray. And I would like to know their needs and then pray for them. So I asked, what do you want me to pray for? And this lady started crying. And I asked, why are you crying? She said, I have been diagnosed HIV positive. And the doctors have said I got maximum 3 months to live. I would die within 3 months. But this evening I heard about Jesus Christ. For the first time I heard about Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart that He would forgive me of my sins. And He would heal me. This was the first time I'm ever seeing an HIV positive coming forward to be prayed for. And I did not know what to pray for her. But I knew my Jesus has the power to heal every sickness. So I prayed for her, just small prayer. And I said, Jesus, would you heal her in the name of Jesus? Amen. I went back to my place. After 2 months, this lady called me. And when she called me, she said, I'm that lady from Bangalore who had HIV problem, who has AIDS in her body. And I thought she's probably going to say, I'm going to die. I'm on my deathbed. And would you pray that I would have a painless death? That's what I was expecting over the phone. But this is what she said. Yesterday, I went for a blood checkup. And today, my result came. I have no HIV virus in my body. I have no HIV virus in my body. Who is your God? Who is your Jesus? He has the power to open the doors that has been shut. He has the power to bring breakthroughs in your life. So Jesus healed the sick people there and He delivered the people who were having problems in their life. And the whole city was there. Verse 34. Then He healed many who were sick. And let me go to verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before the daylight. I don't know what time He slept. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, because He ministered to everybody individually, you know. And then I don't know what time, maybe 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, He went to bed, He went to sleep. But early in the morning, even before the sun came out, He went to pray. Church, there is power in prayer. Jesus, you know, He was not, I mean, if I was in the place of Jesus, I would have called my disciples and said, don't wake me up in the morning. I would put a do not disturb board on my room. And I would say, when I wake up, when I come out, do not disturb me because I am too tired. But Jesus, even before the sun came out, He was in a lonely place to pray. What is Jesus trying to teach us? He's teaching us. After a victory, if you need a bigger victory, you need to be somebody who has a heart of prayer. Somebody who has a habit of prayer. If we will keep praying from one victory to the other victory, I want to tell you, God will take us from victories to victories to victories. You know, even when you see Jesus, when He had fed 5,000 men, you know what He did after that? He sent His disciples away and He went to a lonely place to pray. If I was in the place of Jesus, I would have called the CNN, the BBC. I would have called all the social media. And I would have said, look what I've done with 2 fish and 5 bread. I've fed everyone here. And I would have had all the signboards all over the city with 2 fish in my hand and 5 bread on the other hand. And I would tell, come on, put this picture all over the town. Let people know what I have done. And then if you had to meet me or if you want an appointment with me, you have to meet my secretary. But what did Jesus do? He sent His disciples away and He went to a lonely place to pray. You and I need to be somebody who has an habit to pray. I enjoy prayer. You know, people ask me, What do you enjoy? Yes, I have good moments every day. Talking to my wife, playing around with my children, or having good food. Those are good moments of my life. But if you'd ask me what is the best moment you have in your day, it is the time when I spent with my Lord, when I spend my time with my Father. Every day I try to be on my knees for 60 to 90 minutes. You know, the breakthroughs that we get through prayers, you would not get it through anything else. Not through your muscle power, not through your education, not through your family background, but through prayer, you will have victories in your life. Jesus went to pray, and now what happened? Simon got up, and he's searching for Jesus. Verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him, they started searching for Jesus. They started searching for, and when Simon got up, hey, Jesus was sleeping with us. Where is he now? Well, he must have gone for, he's peeped through the window. No, Jesus was not there. They all went searching for Jesus. I want to tell you one thing, church. If you are a praying person, the world will come searching after you. If you search God, the world will search you. You want victories in your life, you need to be somebody who will spend time in prayer. I remember one of our brother and sister, a missionary couple, they were preaching, they were having a meeting in a place, and suddenly anti-Christian people came and disturbed the meeting, and they both were arrested, and they were confined into a prison, and nobody knew where they were. You know, we tried our level best to find out where they are, but we never knew where they are. The police did not register a case against them, but they put them behind the bars. They were in prison, and we did not know how to find them. But our sister, I mean, they had three young children, and somebody else was looking after them, because we did not know where this couple is. On that four, this sister, she was in a prison. She was in a cell where there were hardcore criminals there. You know, but this lady, she would not bother about anything. Our sister, she would get into the corner of the corner of that prison every day, and she would just keep praying. And on the fourth day, as she was praying, she was not worried about anything. When I talked with her after she was released, she said, I was not worried about anything, but I was just spending my time in prayer. And on the fourth day, as she was praying there, she could hear some disturbance on the other side of the cell. And suddenly she got up and she saw the jail superintendent. She started manifesting demons, and she started doing a wicked dance there, and all other inmates who were in the prison, they all ran into one corner, and they were scared, because this lady could be really wicked when she has this problem. So they all were scared, and they ran to one corner. But our sister, she got up and she looked at her and said, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to be delivered. And within minutes, this lady was delivered from this demon problem. And this jail superintendent asked, what can I do for you? She said, I spend money on the black magicians, on the witchcrafter. I went running after temples, but nothing happened, but you have set me free. And she thought this lady is another goddess. She said, I'm not a goddess, because, you know, India has 33 million gods and goddesses. What's wrong if you add one more? You know? What's wrong to add one more? But she said, I'm not a goddess. I'm an ordinary lady, but I serve the living God. She shared about Jesus Christ to this lady. And this lady said, our sister asked, can I make one phone call to one of our leaders? And she said, I'm not allowed to, I've been told not to allow you to make any phone call, because nobody knows where you are being kept. But since you have set me free, I give you my personal phone, make one call. That is the power of prayer. You know, when you pray, no matter what situation you are in, but if you will pray, my God will open doors for you. So Jesus is teaching us that we need to be somebody who will pray. Let me say that again. If you will search God through prayer, people will search you. The world will come searching after you. Now let me come to chapter 2. And again, Jesus entered Capernaum, and immediately there was many people who gathered there, and there was no place for anybody else to come in. And Jesus started preaching the word of God. Verse 2 says, and Jesus preached the word of God to them. We need to give importance to the word of God in our life. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, Lord, I have kept your word in my heart. In times of your trouble, in times of your crisis, you need to have the word of God. If you will have the word of God, the enemy will not stand against you. Even Jesus, when he was being tempted by the enemy, he did not say, hey, watch out, I'm son of God, I'll burn you to ashes. Jesus did not say, I'm coming out of 40 days of fasting. No, Jesus fought the enemy with the word of God. If Jesus needed the word of God, how much more you and I need the Word of God. So let us build a life. Let the foundation of our life be prayer and Word of God. Word of God and prayer. And if we have Word of God and prayer in our life, let me tell you, we will have the anointing of God and we will see doors being opened for us in the name of Jesus Christ. And verse 3, then they came to him bringing a paralytic man who was carried by 4 men. Listen to me now very, very carefully. Here is this man who's been paralytic. I don't know for how many years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I don't know for how many years he has been on this bed. But every morning when he wakes up, he's on that bed. He cannot get out of this bed. You know, for many years, he has been controlled by this bed. Every morning when he gets up, when he wakes up, the bed would be looking at him and saying, you are under my control. You cannot get out of me. Till your death, you are going to be under me. I am going to control you. And the situation is challenging him and the situation is calling him and telling him, you cannot do anything because I am controlling you. The situation was controlling him. He could not control the situation. I don't know about you. You might be in that same position this morning. Situation might be controlling you. You might be under financial burden. You might be having problem with your health. You might be having some worries and tensions and some things in your life. And you might be controlled by the situation. This man, for many, many years, he was being controlled by the situation that he was. He could not get out of that bed. He might have tried all the doctors. He might have tried all the medicines. He might have tried everything of this world, but nothing worked. Every morning this bed would look at him and laugh at him and say, you try whatever you want to try, but you will not get out of me. I will control you till your last breath. But one day he heard about Jesus Christ. He heard last time when Jesus came to my town, he healed many people. He set many people free. So he had a desire in his heart to go and meet Jesus Christ. He knew one thing. If I will have an encounter with Jesus Christ, he will change my life. One encounter with Jesus will change our life. But he had a problem. He could not go there. He needed somebody to help him. Maybe he called his relatives and they were too busy to take him. Maybe he requested his neighbors and they would have denied. Let's imagine, I'm imagining this. The Bible does not say, but I'm imagining. This was his 4 friends who said, okay, we will take you to Jesus Christ. And these 4 friends came. Maybe one of them said, hey, we will take him on a Sunday. Sunday is a holiday. That day we will take him to Jesus Christ. Because if we take him today, we would lose our wages. We would lose our money. The other 3 would have said, no matter even if we lose today's wage, no matter even if we lose our job, we will take our friend to Jesus Christ. You know, they 4 came there and they took him and they were carrying him and they were taking to Jesus. It's not easy job, you know, carrying this bed and taking this man with him. It's a hard job. You know, they would have been tired. They would have been sweating. The back must have been aching. And one of them would have said, no, we cannot do it. Let's take him back to the house that he belongs to. Maybe one day when Jesus will pass by this place, we will request Jesus to come in and heal him. Maybe one out of those, the other 3 would have said, no matter what pain we go through, we will take our friend to Jesus Christ. Church, let me ask you one question. Are we that friend who would go and let others come to Jesus Christ? You know how blessed we are that we live in a neighborhood where there are still hundreds of people who do not know Jesus Christ. We live in a town where there are hundreds and thousands of people who do not know Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity in our hand. We have an opportunity in our hand to go and witness to them and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. You know, these 4 friends are showing us that. They started carrying him. They took him to Jesus Christ. On the way, people would have laughed at them. On the way, people would have mocked at them. And they would have made all kind of funny stories. But these 4 friends, they did not carry. They said only one thing. No matter what happens, we will take our friend to Jesus Christ. Don't we have some neighbors that need to come to Jesus Christ? Don't we have some of our friends, our colleagues, who need to know Jesus Christ? Are we going to be that good friend? They took him to Jesus Christ. Now, there was a problem. When they reached that place was packed. They could not enter in. They had only 2 options. Either leave him there till Jesus comes out or take him back. One would have said, okay, let's wait in the front door till Jesus comes out. The other would have said, what if he walks out of the back door? They didn't want to take a risk. Maybe one would have gone and looked all around the house, the kitchen door, the back door, the windows, but everything was packed. They could not get in. But they did not give up. They did not give up. They had a desire that we want our friend to meet Jesus Christ. You know what they did? They looked all the four sides, but they were disappointed. But then what did they do? They looked upwards. They looked upwards. When you look at people, when you look at all the four sides, many times you might be disappointed. You might be frustrated. But look to the heavens, you have the answer to your prayer. Look to the heavens. There is, you know what did David say in Psalms chapter 20 verse 7? Some have their trust on the horses, some have their trust on the chariots, but my trust is in the living God. Let's look unto the heavens for the solutions that we need, and he will give us a solution. You know, and one of them would have said, hey, we got an idea. We will rip open the roof of this house. The other three would have said, no. That's going to be, you know, people will stone us. You know, they may kill us. There's going to be, you know, it's just challenging. They might even give a police case and we might be arrested. One would have said, no matter what happens, even if people throw stone at us, let them throw stone. Even if they take us to police, let us be ready for that. Even if we have to pay a huge compensation for the house, we will do it. But today our friend has to meet Jesus Christ. That's the passion even we have. We want to reach the people who do not know Jesus Christ. Even in this town of St. Joseph, there are hundreds and thousands of people who need Jesus. Are we ready to pay that price and go to the people and tell them that there is life after death, and that is only through Jesus Christ? We need to be a good friend. And they took him to Jesus Christ. And Jesus, when he saw their faith, whose faith? Their faith. Maybe the faith of these four men caused the healing of this man. You know, many times you might have a neighbor who is suffering with cancer. You might have a colleague who is having some kind of problem. Because of your faith and because you witness Jesus to them, God will do a miracle in their life. So let us be a channel to bring people into the presence of Jesus Christ. And what happened? Jesus looked at him and he said, your sins are forgiven. You know, I wondered why Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. He could have said, be healed and go. No, Jesus, he is the only one who has the power to forgive your sin. He's full of love. He's full of compassion. He's the only one who can forgive us from the sins that we are in. You know, Pastor took me to that back room and he was fixing my mic. And I saw a cross there, a beautiful cross. And there are three nails on that. And when I saw that, I remembered something. You know, Jesus, when he was on that cross, when he was in that full agony, he was broken. He was whipped. Blood was oozing out. He had that throne, crown of thorns, and shame was upon him. I think that was the worst day of his life, because even Father had rejected him, and he was in the worst point of his life. And that's the time one of the thief who was on the either side of him, when he looked out to him and said, will you remember me when you are in paradise? You know what did Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. You know, when I think about that, you know, he was going through all that pain and that agony and unbearable pain. Still, when somebody called out to him, he forgot all his pain. He forgot all his suffering. He forgot all the shame. And he looked at that man and said, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, as a father, I have two children. My daughter is 15. My son is 12. But, you know, sometimes when I'm busy with something, if my son would come and ask me, daddy, come out and play with me, I would get angry at him. I would say, no, not now. But look at the love of Jesus Christ. Even though he's going through that big pain, he forgot about himself, but he's calling out to the salvation of somebody else. You know, when my daughter would come and I might be having a small headache and my daughter would come and ask me some doubts from a syllabus, I would get angry at her and I would say, go and ask your teacher why you're coming and ask. I would get angry at her. But you know, when I look at the love of Jesus Christ, even in midst of that pain, even in midst of all those sufferings, he forgot about his pain. And he stretched forward his hand to save somebody. That's the love of Jesus Christ. And here Jesus said, take up your bed and go home. I wondered, why did Jesus ask him to take the bed and go? Jesus could have said, okay, get up and walk and go. But, you know, this man, when Jesus said, take your bed and go, he took up his bed. This bed that was controlling him for many, many years. I don't know for how many years. Now he's walking with this bed. And probably he's telling to everybody, for many years this bed was controlling me. This had been controlling me and this has been dictating terms in my life. But when Jesus came, now, it cannot dictate any more terms, but I will control this. The situation had been controlling me till today, but now the situation will not control me. I will control the situation. You know, he must have looked at the bed and said like this, till today, for last 10 years, for last 15 years, you had been controlling me. But today, Jesus has come, and now I can do what I want to do with you. I can break you. I can burn you, I can throw you away, or I can put you in the corner of my house and look at you every day and say that for the last 10 years you had been controlling my life, but because Jesus came, now I am controlling you.
Amen.
Church, when Jesus will give a breakthrough, you will, the situation that has been controlling you, it will not control you anymore, but you will control the situation. The financial problem might be worrying you right now. The ill health might be creating tensions in your life. You might be under a lot of situations. You might be under a lot of things that is controlling you. But if you will come into the presence of Jesus Christ, the situations will not control you anymore, but you will control the situation. I'm going to close here with Gospel of John chapter 5. There was a man there who was by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Not 1 year, not 5 years, not 10 years. 38 long years he was by this pool every day thinking that when the angel would come and stir the water, I would be the first to jump in and I would have my healing. Probably when he was there by that pool of Bethesda on the first year, the angel came and stirred the water. He wanted to jump in, but he could not do it. Maybe a blind man came and he jumped in and he got his healing. He received his sight, and he looked at this man and said, okay, you wait till the next year. And this man would have said, yes, I will wait till the next year. One day my day will come. One day my day will come. And probably the bed would have looked at him and said, no, your day will never come. You will be controlled by me till your death. The second year came. The third year came. The fifth year came. The tenth year came. And he was still in that same condition. And the condition was, or the situation was controlling him. But the best thing is, this man did not give up. Church, don't give up because you have a God. Don't give up. No matter what happens, do not give up. Humble yourself under the mighty hands of the living God and he will do a miracle in your life. He did not give up. He did not give up. 15 years, 20 years, people would have made fun of him. People would have come and said, why are you still here? Go back home. Enjoy some good food and be there. Maybe 25 years later, his mom and dad would have come and said, son, why are you still here? We know this is your condition. Nobody would help you. You will never come out of your situation. Come home. Be with us. We will serve you. We will give you some good food. We will make your life as comfortable as possible. Don't lie here. There's no point. But you know, this man would have looked at them and said, one day my day will come. One day my day will come when I will have the situation controlled by me and the situation will not control me. 30 years, 32 years, 35 years, still the bed would have been laughing at him and saying, you try your level best, but I will control you. I will control you. You will never be able to control me. But you know what happened, church? On the 38th year, no angel came to change his situation. But because he kept saying, my day will come, God sent his only son to bring a healing into his life. For this man, it was no angel. For him, it was Messiah himself who came down. It was not an angel. It was the Messiah who came down. Church, I want to tell you, when you will wait, it's nobody other than Jesus who will bring a miracle into your life. This man was healed. This man was healed and he took up his bed the same way and he walked away. And he would have also said, you controlled me for 38 long years, but I did not give up. I had that faith that my Jesus will do it. My God will do it. And because I did not give up and because I kept saying my day will come, my day has come. Maybe on the 30th year when he was there, the blind man was healed on the first year. He came there. He wanted to see that pool and he saw, oh, you're still here. And he would have made fun of him. But even that time he would have said,
One day my day will come. Today everybody will laugh, but I will have the last laugh. Today people might be laughing at you. My brothers and sisters, people might be laughing at your situation. They might be having sympathy over you. They might be having pity over you. But I want to tell you, let people laugh. They will laugh, but yours will be the last laugh if you will have Jesus. You know, this man, when he walked out with his bed, he would have gone to the people who were healed in the last 38 years. He would have looked at every one of them and said, you all have a testimony that angel came and stirred the water and you were healed. But I have a different testimony. For me it was not angel. For me it was the Messiah himself. Church, he is here. I don't know what situation you are in this morning. But I can tell you one thing. You have a God who can give you control over your situation. He can give you control over your situation. I'm going to close with a incident that happened about 6 months back. Three of our pastors, they were having a Sunday service. Palm Sunday, they were having a service there. Suddenly, anti-Christian people came and they disturbed the meeting. Three of our pastors, young pastor, 25, 27-year-old, they were arrested. One along with his wife, four of them were taken into the jail. They were in the jail for 3 days. And they were being beaten there. They were being persecuted there. They were being slapped on their face because they were not worshiping the idols there. On the fourth day, we could set them free. When they came out, I was talking to them and I asked them, were you worried inside? Did you have any kind of tensions or did you have any kind of fear? All three of them looked at me and said, why we have to worry about the situation? Because we have a God who takes care of our situation. And these four people, three men and one lady, even when they were in the jail, even when they were slapped, even when they were persecuted, they were sharing about Jesus Christ inside that prison. And I told them, don't go back to that same villages where you have been persecuted, where you have been harassed by the anti-Christian people. One of them, the youngest one, he looked at me and said, brother, if I don't go, who will go? But he said, I have a God who controls the situation. Today we have a church being planted in that village. And as I'm preaching here, I know they have had a Sunday service there. You have a God who will control your situation. No matter what you are in, this morning you have a God who would control your situation. If he could do it for that paralytic man, if he could do it for that man who was by the pool for 38 years, will he not do it for you and me? He is a faithful God. He is same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's close our eyes this morning. I don't know what your situation is this morning, but I know a God. I know Jesus. I know him, and he will control your situation. If anyone of you would like to say, yes, I want Jesus to speak into my life this morning. I want him to touch me. And I want him to speak that same words into my life, that you will not be controlled by the situation anymore, but the situation will be controlled by you. If you want to hear from Jesus, if there is anybody here, you are into some problem, you are in a situation where you need a breakthrough, would you stand on your feet? I'm going to pray for you right now. Any situation. You might be in some kind of situation where you're looking for a breakthrough. You're looking for some doors to be opened. You want some success in your life. You want to see miracles in your life. People might be laughing at you. And you're worried about it. But this morning Jesus is saying, my son, my daughter, situation will not control you anymore. I see a person here. I see it in my spirit. You are under very heavy financial burden. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're really worried and God is saying, bring it to me and I'll give you a breakthrough. I don't know who you are, but you are here. And God wants to speak into your life. If you will just trust in him and say, yes, Lord, I want that breakthrough. God is going to do it. No matter what problem you are in. Might be financial, might be physical, might be emotional. This morning you have a breakthrough. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, oh God. You are a God of breakthroughs. You are God of impossibilities, oh God. You are God, a master, who gives us victory. You turn our defeats into victory, oh God. You turn our mourning into dancing. And Lord, this morning I pray for my brothers and sisters who are standing. Lord, I pray that the things that have been controlling them will be under their feet from today onwards, O God. It will not be able to control them, but it will be under their feet. And they will stand up and say, this is what my God has done. Like that man in Gospel of Mark. Like that man by the pool of Bethesda. They will also have a testimony where they will say, this is what my God has done for me. So in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I bless these people, O God. And I pray, O God, that you will give them victories after victories. You will give them reasons to rejoice. And Lord, they will give testimonies of victories in the days to come, O God. Father, bless every one of us, O God. Bless this church in the name of Jesus, we pray. Every empty chair here, O God. We pray that it will be filled with people, O God. Lord, I pray this place will become too small very soon, O God. People will come here and worship you in truth and spirit. In the name of Jesus, we unite our hearts together and we pray, O God, let people come here and let them receive the peace and the joy and the happiness of the living God. Bless us all together. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless.